God has called us to advance, to grow His family by bringing in the lost and the lonely into His family. That's God's heart. He loves people. He came for the lost. He wants the lonely to be placed in families. That's God's heart. He loves people. And so He's calling the church, and He always has. This isn't a new thing. This isn't new. I mean, we're in the Old Testament in the book of Joshua, okay? This is not new, right? He's called His church to advance and to grow His family, to love people and bring the lost and lonely into His family. He's also called His church to go deep, specifically Evident Life, as He's let us know and given us that word early on that the roots of an Evident Life go deep. And so we're to advance into these deep things, into discipleship and evangelism, into encountering the presence of God. We're to advance in prayer. And when we do, God's kingdom advances. So we're in the book of Joshua. We've learned that in our study so far that we can advance with confidence. And it's just great how God starts it all, lays the foundation for us, that everything is built on Him. It's not built on us. It's not built on our own talent, our own ability, our own strength, our own wisdom, what we can come up with. It's not built on how awesome we are. It's everything is built on how awesome God is. And in the book of Joshua, we saw that the people of God can advance into the promised land, go into a place they've never been before because of God's promise. What it says in Joshua 1, because of God's promise, because of God's protection, and because of God's provision. And then we learned in the same passage of Scripture of Joshua 1 that advancement requires action. And so we were introduced to the ABCs of advancing with God. That because of God laying the foundation, and His promise, His protection, and His provision, that now we, the people of God, were called to arise and go, that's the A, with B, boldness and courage, while C, consuming God's Word. Arise and go with boldness and courage while consuming God's Word. I want to encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to hear the first two messages of this series, I really encourage you to listen to them, so that we can all be on the same page. Because we really are advancing. We're not playing church. We're not just going to go through the motions. Oh, we've got a new building. Oh, this is so much fun. Isn't this cool? Let's everybody work and paint and la, 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 and great, great, great. And then we're just going to come back and just go through the motions. We're not going to do that. We were created for more than that. God has bigger dreams than that for His church. We truly were created for advancement. Listen to those so that we can all be on the same page as we advance together. Because as we advance together as the whole body, remember we studied in 1 Corinthians, as the whole body, as we advance as the whole body, we're going to be much more effective, much more impactful. Now this week, the book of Joshua highlights the importance of preparation. The title of today's sermon is Preparing for Advancement. Preparing for advancement. Before we continue, though, I want to make sure we lay this other groundwork that we've talked about the past 2 weeks. And that is, what are we advancing? We got to make sure we always understand that. What's this whole thing about advancement? Why are we advancing? What are we advancing into? Is it our own dreams, our own desires? Is it just the things that we've dreamed up that we think will be really cool? Is it advancing into an easier life, a more comfortable life? Is that what we're called to advance into? No. We know that we're called to advance into God's plans that He has for us. Now, I just want to step aside here for a moment and say this. I'm going to actually physically do it. I want to make sure that we all understand this. I mean, we really do. And if you don't know this deep in your inner man, get with God this week and keep getting with God. And that's this truth, that God's plans are way bigger and better than any plan you can imagine, anything that you can come up with. any plan, any future, any destiny that you think would be awesome and you want, God's plan is bigger than that for your life. It just is. It's way bigger and better. Our plans for a cushy future are so less than God's plans of advancing His kingdom. God's plans are awesome. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about advancing into God's plans, His purposes, His future, His destiny, God's dream for our lives as His church and as His children. And for advancement to happen, proper preparation is required. So turn with me to Joshua 1, verses 10 and 11. Joshua 1, 10 and 11. We may be in the book of Joshua for quite a while. I had one message at the beginning of this for Joshua 1. This is our third one. So we're just going where God's taking us right now. Joshua 1, verses 10 and 11. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp, and command the people, prepare your provisions. For within 3 days, you are to pass over this Jordan. In other words, he's saying in 3 days, you're going to advance. You're going to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. God has big plans for His people, for the Israelites. Big plans. So He's calling His people to prepare. Why? Because He doesn't want them to miss anything. He doesn't want them to get halfway and then, uh-oh, we're not ready. We forgot something. We're missing something. And so we got to turn around. He's got big plans for His people. He has big plans for His people today, too. He has big plans for you, for His church. And so He's calling His people to prepare so that we can go all the way with Him. Y'all have heard the saying, that's my Texan coming out at me. Y'all have heard the saying that people don't plan to fail, but they fail to plan. How many of you have done that? I've done that. Let me word it a little differently. Christians don't plan to miss God or His calling on their lives. But some do because they fail to position themselves for advancement. The generation of Moses didn't plan on dying in the wilderness outside the promised land. That wasn't their plan. But they did. They did because they failed to position themselves for advancement. They failed to forsake all others. They failed to walk in faith into what God had already prepared for them. So God, now in our text here in Joshua 1, verses 10 and 11, He's encouraging the next generation that hadn't passed away in the desert. He's encouraging that generation led by Joshua to prepare now, to be ready and be positioned for advancement. And God's Word is going to outline many things that need to be done in preparation. We're going to cover just a couple today. But we know this. As we read God's Word, we see throughout God's Word that He has encouraged us to be prepared in so many areas. And we know the first and the primary and the most critical, and without it we're going nowhere, is that we need to know God. We need to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, as our everything. Without that, again, we don't take a step forward at all. We need to also know God's Word if we're going to advance in the things of God. It would be really a good idea to know His Word, to know His plans, to know His purposes. That's all in the Word of God. That's in your Bible. These are things we need to do to prepare for advancement. We need to walk in the Spirit. We talked about that earlier in the service. This is Pentecost Sunday. And God's Word tells us to walk in the Spirit. Read the book of Romans. Go to Romans 8. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. That's how we prepare for advancement. You walk in the flesh, and in your own understanding and your own intellect, we don't get very far. We walk by the Spirit. We're called to pray. That's another way to prepare for advancement, prayer. But in the immediate context of this passage in Joshua 1, we see that preparing for advancement involved the Israelites preparing their possessions, their food, their provision, as it's defined here in the ESV version. Prepare your provision, your finances. So we're going to talk about that for a little bit. Advancement requires, number one, properly prepared provision. Say that 6 times quickly, and I'll give you a gold star. Properly prepared provision is needed for advancement. We're going to talk about provision in the context of our finances just for a little bit here today. God has given each of us in this room a measure of provision. How many of you arrived at church today in a car? Raise your hands, keep them up. Maybe on a motorcycle, a Harley Davidson. Okay, virtually every hand's up. I doubt anybody. Who walked 6 miles in the heat today to get to church? Anybody? No. Now, we do have brothers and sisters around the world. I know many of them in Ghana, Africa, who do that. Every one of us has a measure of provision. I would imagine, unless you're fasting, everybody in this room has had something to eat in the last 24 hours. And I can say that because I'm in America. Had something to eat in the last 24 hours. I would bet that everybody in this room slept under some sort of shelter last night. Most people in a home, in their own bed. What I'm trying to say is this, is that we all have a measure of provision. God has provided for us. And He's calling us to prepare that provision and to use it for His plans and for advancement of His kingdom. Not preparing this area of our lives, this area of provision, this area of finances, what it can do, it can result in our advancement being halted. Just everything stopping, the wheels falling off of us moving forward in the things of God. And what I want to do to demonstrate the implications of this truth is I want to tell you a story about a missionary friend of mine. I'm just going to make up a name, Debbie. Sorry, Debbie. It's not Debbie Caldwell, but I'm just using that name in general right now. But my friend Debbie felt a calling on her life to minister to children and to women in Africa. This is a godly woman who loves the Lord, is filled with the Holy Spirit, is walking in the truth of God's Word, willing enough to and tight enough with the Lord to hear His voice and to have a heart that would actually leave the comfort of America to go and live in Africa and to just serve children and women on the other side of the world. So she took off and she went to Africa. And for nearly 3 years, she ministered to children and to women there. Great fruit, wonderful results, special times. Her faith being expanded and expanded and expanded. But one day, it halted. And she had to leave Africa and go back to the United States. Why? Because she had a mound of debt back home that had caught up with her. And she had to go back and deal with that. Her ministry, her advancement, and the things that God had truly called her to halted very quickly because she wasn't properly prepared before she moved out into it. Now, if you're in debt, you can be free of that. Thank you. Thank you. You can be. I know people who have been in 6 figures in debt, deep in debt, and they're able to get out of that debt. It's not a lifetime circumstance. It's not a lifetime sentence. You do not have to allow debt to control your life and to dictate what you're going to do now or in the future. But it's going to take some preparation, it's going to take some work to deal with it and to get out of it. But is God able? Is He able to help you with that? If we submit it to the Lord, if we work within His precepts, is He able to help us with that? He is able. If you are somebody who's in debt and you're ready to walk away from that, that we would love to help. We have resources here at the church that can help you with that. I'm not saying we got six figures and we're going to bail you out or anything like that, but we have people that we partner with that are dear friends of ours who help people in these situations and can help you. They're Christian counselors who help us get out of debt. And so I just want to encourage you that debt does not have to keep you from advancing into the things of God. Because it can. I'm just being real. It can. You know, God called me into full-time ministry years ago. And when He did, He gave me this word. He said, get your financial house in order. Before He gave me a word like, thus saith the Lord, you're going to have this ministry and this is what it's going to look like and wow. Before that, basically the first word He gave me was, Eric, get your financial house in order because I'm about to do something. Now the Holy Spirit let me understand what that was very quickly. I knew because He was moving on my heart in the area of ministry, I knew that they were tied together. And I understood that things needed to change in my finances. I was working in business at the time very successfully. We actually had our dream cabin that we were able to buy up outside of Payson, about 10 miles north of Payson, up against a mountain on 3 acres of land with a seasonal creek that ran through it. It was beautiful. It was a place where we could go as a family. It was our dream. We want a place to go and our kids to be able to come back to when they have kids and kind of that thing that draws us all together. So the motivation was good. The motivation was, man, this is a family kind of thing. But God was saying, get your financial house in order. And we understood what that meant is we needed to scale things down in order to be ready for God's next move in our lives. And so we just said, okay, God. And within 1 year, we had cut 40% out of our monthly expenses. Why was this important? Because where God was taking us, we couldn't carry all the extra stuff. We just couldn't. It wasn't bad stuff. It wasn't stuff that was hurting us or putting us in debt even or anything. It was just extra stuff that we weren't going to be able to carry with us where God was taking us. And He wasn't taking us to Africa or somewhere like that. He was just taking us into a different season in our lives. And so He was saying, get ready, get prepared, lighten your load. I want to show you this picture. This donkey. Would you say he needs to have his load lightened a little bit? The cart is so full that his feet are sticking up in the air. He can't go anywhere. He can't move, can he? He can't advance anywhere because he's carrying too heavy of a load. And sometimes this is where we find ourselves. We find ourselves carrying a heavy load and unable to move forward. And it can be in the area of our finances. And it's not necessarily that the load is bad. I'm assuming that everything in all of these packages is medical aid for poor orphans somewhere. I'm just throwing that out there. It doesn't mean that the load is bad or wrong. But sometimes it's just too much. And we need to lighten it and to prepare ourselves for advancement. Do you hear what I'm saying? By the way, I just want to let you know, as soon as we came into agreement with God's plan to lighten our load and to get our financial house in order, God moved. He didn't wait until we had all 40% till the end of the year, cut out and went through that whole process. And, it's not fun going through something like that. You all know, let's be real. It's not fun. And I'm not saying this for everybody. I'm just saying you got to check out your own life. And you got to prepare your provisions and prepare yourself so that you're ready to move when God says, let's go do something super exciting that's going to change the world. But when we came into agreement with that, the Lord immediately gave me a ministry opportunity, a full-time one. And then he was so good to us that he allowed my old income to continue and to kind of tail off slowly as the new, much smaller income was coming up. God's good, I guess is what I'm saying, and God's ways work. So thinking God's way is an important component of being properly prepared in the area of finances. We got to understand where our provision comes from, first and foremost. Our provision comes from the Lord. Everything you have comes from God. It's only by His grace and His mercy that you even woke up and have breath today. So every provision, everything that you have, the fact that you were born into this amazing, in this amazing country at this time, all of this is just the grace of God. And it's only His goodness that we have anything. It all comes from the Lord. And a common way that the Lord provides for us is He gives us employment. He blesses us with a job, with the opportunity to, as they say, earn a wage. How many of you know that your job is a blessing from God and comes from Him? It is. It's a blessing from the Lord. And what do we get as a result of working? We get a wage. That wage is provision. It's finances. It's provision. It's all from God. It's His blessing, and it's from Him. And so as we understand that everything that we have, everything that we, quote, earn or are blessed with, given by God, it truly is His. And so as we recognize that, then we learn to steward it as God's provision, as God's resources that He's allowing us to handle for a period of time. It's a very important foundational truth that we've got to embrace. It takes humility to embrace that truth, but it's real. It comes from the Lord. And it really is something that we are stewarding. And we ought to do that with a lot of prayer. When we steward wisely, we do things like living within our means, staying out of debt, saving some of our income, investing in God's projects, and tithing. I just love talking about money. Isn't it great? You know, at the beginning of the week on Monday, had no idea I was going to be talking about this today. Again, I was ready for chapter 3, actually. We're about to be at that point. But this is where the rubber meets the road. This is real life. We all deal with money, with finances, and with provision, and it's a very powerful thing in life. It's extremely powerful. And God means it for good. He truly does. Whether you have an abundance of it or a lack of it even right now, God can use it all and turn it all for good when we handle it and look at it God's way. So I actually want to talk about tithing just a little bit because we're on the subject of finances. The whole act of participating in biblical tithing, which is the releasing of 10% of our income back into the storehouse of the local congregation, the biblical act of doing that will directly affect our advancement. And I'm going to let God's Word explain how that happens. It's in Malachi 3. Beginning in verse 8. Malachi 3, beginning in verse 8. This is why an understanding of provision, an understanding of finances, and walking it out biblically is so important. There are so many ramifications. It's not separate. You cannot compartmentalize any part of your life away from the Lord. If you do, let's just say don't do it. God is interested in every area of our lives. It says this in Malachi 3, beginning in verse 8. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. That's a thus saith the Lord. Verse 12, then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. So preparation and handling of our finances will directly affect and influence our advancement. That's a reality. That is a spiritual, universal reality. But preparation goes beyond getting our financial house in order. I'm going to move on. We can have our finances all in order. And in fact, again, we are so blessed here in America. We have an abundance of finances. We have plenty. I've been in other countries where there's no running water, where there's no medicine to save a child from the most basic illness that hits them. We have an abundance of provision and finances in this country. But we can have all the finances and provision that we want, but if our hearts are not prepared, then it doesn't matter at all. I want to move into number two, that advancement requires properly prepared hearts. We do need properly prepared provision or finances, but we've got to also accompany that with properly prepared hearts. And I want to go to the story of the rich young ruler. This is an interaction that Jesus is having with a rich, young, powerful guy, ruler. Turn with me to Matthew 19, beginning verse 16. I'm just going to hit verse 16 and then 21 through 22. Matthew 19. And behold, a man came up to him, that's up to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful. He went away, walked away from Jesus, sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So what happened in this case? The cares of the world, the lure of wealth, comfort, status, all of those things abruptly halted this young man's advancement with God. I mean, check this out. He was about ready to walk with Jesus. I mean, in the physical, when Jesus was physically walking on this earth, he had the opportunity to physically spend his time with Jesus. And that was abruptly halted because his heart wasn't prepared. His heart was still given to other things. Other things still had a hold on him. This man's case, it was money. That's just an example. See, what happened is in this man's mind, the rich young ruler, what I see here is he liked the idea or the concept of eternal life. He liked the concept and the idea of being a follower of Jesus. But his heart wasn't prepared. His heart wasn't all in to the point of actually letting go of the other stuff. I find it interesting, Velvet, that you gave that word about this is a place to grow. You know, it can be painful to grow. When I grew up, look at how tall I am, right? I'm almost 6'5 here. And when you grow to be this tall, you go through stages of growth where it flat out hurts. Where your legs are every single day, you're waking up. Morning, noon, night, sometimes you have trouble sleeping because your bones are growing so fast. It just happens. So growth can be painful at times, but it's always good. It's good. So we're doing a little growth time right here. Just talking real, being real about what the Bible says about life and about preparing to advance into our real calling. Because again, I just want to be really clear. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to leave anything. I mean, on the field, I want to give it all is what I'm saying. I want to go all the way with God. I want to experience all He has for me, not all this world has for me. I really don't. I want all that God has for me because that's my eternity. That's my future. That's everything. That's why I was created and that's why we were all created, to glorify Him and enjoy Him now and forever, to be in partnership with Him right now. And so I'm going to keep going after this right here, meaning the sermon, as we're going to touch a few other areas. Very quickly here. Look, wealth and hobbies and hanging out, extracurricular activities, sports and family, those aren't bad things. Those are all good things. Those are totally fine things in life. But we got to be careful to not allow anything, any of these things, to ever get in the way of our relationship with the Lord, of our true, real calling to be followers of Christ and to go with Him where He is going. We can't let anything get in the way. Because if we do, our advancement with God can be abruptly halted. Anything gets in the way. Just like it did with my friend, as I'm calling Debbie today. Listen to how Jesus wrapped up the rich young ruler encounter. Verse 29. He says this. And this is Jesus talking. He's going way beyond television and video games and your Cokes and Dr. Peppers and all the other stuff that you like and enjoy. I mean, listen to where Jesus takes this. And everyone who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Now, first of all, I want to point out that we receive 100-fold in return. That's what we were saying earlier, that God's plans are always better than ours, that His return will always outdo any return that you think you can get out of this life on your own. It'll blow it away 100-fold is what Jesus is saying. But I also see this, that advancing with God requires that we prepare our hearts, and that means that nothing else, even parents, listen to me, even our children, can be allowed to occupy that place of prominence that is only reserved for God. Nothing else can take that place. We have a lot of parents in here, a lot of families in here, so I just want to talk again. This is one of those weeks where I'm just getting real and straightforward with these. Not to be preachy, not to be condemning, because frankly, as it's been stated before, this church is filled with people who are going after God harder than almost anybody I know. I'm preaching to the choir is what I'm saying, but I'm still just feeling that I got to preach this. I got to talk about being prepared. So I understand you're the choir, but bear with me and hear this. I'm a father. I've got 4 kids. My oldest is 18. Just graduated from high school. He's going away to college in the fall. So I've been around the block is what I'm saying. Okay? I have kids. I'm a parent. I understand this. And as a father, I literally would lay down my life for any one of my kids. I would take a bullet for any one of my children. I'd jump right in front right now and take it. And you parents understand that. You understand the intensity of that love. And that desire and that love and everything that you have for your children. But I'll tell you this. As I stand before God, I cannot sacrifice my walk with God, my time with God, my commitment and involvement in His kingdom purposes for my children. I can't do it. I can't make them an idol. But here's the reality, that the best gift that I can give my children, the most love that I can show my children, is not to make them an idol and make them the main thing, but make God the main thing, to make Jesus the main thing, and to run after Him with everything that I can, and to submit everything I can to the Lord, and seek His face, and listen to His voice, and follow His word, and really care about what God is doing, and go after that. That's the best gift. That's how I can show my children the most love and disciple them. I can hang out all I want to with them, playing games with them, watching television with them, but if they don't see God as the main thing, then I'm selling them short. I really am. If they see that they're the main thing, I've blown it. God is the main thing, and nothing and no one can ever take His place in our lives. We got to have our hearts prepared for God-sized advancement. And when we're prepared in that way and we go after God that way, we're going to be bringing our children along with us, just as Noah brought his children along with him into the ark. Joshua and that whole generation, they brought their children into the promised land because they were listening to God and they were saying, yes, God, coming into agreement with Him, and they were going after the things of God. Go after God with everything in you and bring your kids along with you in the process. That's how we need to do it. So how do we know if we're properly prepared? How do we know if we're living or giving our hearts to other things? I want to suggest you look in two places. Look at your bank statements and look at your calendar. How do you know if your heart is prepared for advancing with God? Bank statement and calendar. Where are you spending your money? Where are you spending your time? That's going to do it right there. Money and time. I want to jump over. I've already talked about money, but let's talk about time. Because as they say, time is money. And I just did a little bit of math, and correct me if I'm wrong. This was just some quick calculations. But I believe we have about 168 hours in a week. Is that right? 168 in a week. And let's say we work a 40-hour week. And I know some of you work more than 40 hours, but I'm just going to use 40 hours as an example. If you work 40 hours a week, you still have 128 hours left in your week. Now let's say that you just love your beauty sleep, and you're going to get 8 hours a night. After that, you still have 72 hours left in your week. 72 hours. That's almost two full work weeks left in your week. How are you spending those 72 hours? It hit me this week hard. Like, God, why'd you have me do the math on that? Come on. Where are we spending our time, our 72 hours? What has our heart? Look at your calendar. It will tell you what's most important in your life. It will tell you who or what is number one in your life. And it will let you know if you're properly prepared for advancing into the things of God. I said it last week or the week before. I don't remember which one it was. But what you consume will consume you. What you're allowing to consume your calendar is going to consume you. Is going to affect who you are and what you experience in life. Jesus told us, didn't give us a lot of direction about everything we're supposed to do for every 72 hours, for every single one of the 72 hours. But I do know that he told us to do this. He said to go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded them. He gave us a great commission. That's the one thing he said, let this occupy your time. Let this be on your calendar. And I just was so challenged this week that I didn't want to bear that alone, so I'm throwing it out there to my whole church family right now. I think it's something that we've got to seriously look at. And I truly believe that we miss out on so much of God because we give Him so little of our time. All right, let's get to the conclusion here. I just want to hit this. Point number three, preparing to advance involves scouting out the land. It says in Joshua 2, verse 1, Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly as spies, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. We're called to properly prepare and get our house in order, get our finances in order, make sure our heart's in order, but we also got to scout out the land as we're going to go in advance. We got to have a strategy for doing that. I just want to throw this very quickly because I know we're out of time. But as we scout out the land, one way that we can do it is we can examine what in the Greek is called our oikos. Okay, our O-I-K-O-S, our oikos. And that's basically our relational network. Can you put that other picture up on the screen? I took this, I just made a quick picture out of Dr. Andy Jackson's book, A Heart for Others. And basically the concept is this, as we're scouting out the land, who has God put us in front of? Who are we doing life with? See, your name goes in the middle, then you look at all the people that God's put in your life. That's how we can begin to scout out the land. Who is God putting us in front of? Who is he networking us with as we begin to scout out now? How are we going to advance? How are we going to bring His kingdom into other people's lives? Velvet and I were at breakfast this morning. It's our 23rd wedding anniversary today. So we snuck out. Our kids didn't even know we were gone. We were back before they even woke up. And at breakfast, we met the family that owns the restaurant. And All three of their family members came up and all talked to us. And we began to connect with them and network with them and talk about the things of the Lord. Found out that the dad just came to Christ 2 months ago in his very restaurant, talking to a friend in his restaurant. That he began to share with us and asking, you know, we talked about what we're all about and everything. And we just began talking. In fact, I almost got a crick in my neck because he was standing kind of behind me the whole time. But he's part of my relational network now. He's part of my oikos as I'm scouting out the land. We're going to be going back there and back there. Why? The food was great, but it's more because God's putting somebody in my oikos, in my network, for me to be able to encourage in the things of God now. Brand new Christian. Not really going to church. Needs the body of Christ around him. Needs encouragement. We need to scout out the land. Examine our relational network. Put together a plan for reaching each one of these people. I want to encourage you to do that. If you can just find 4 to 5 people that you're connected with and put together a plan. How can I advance the kingdom of God in their lives? I want to end with this. How are we preparing for advancement here at Evident Life Church? I want to give you just a few examples of what's going on here, just so you can see it from a corporate perspective. First of all, we're getting our house in order. One way is that we're doing the renovation project around here, and we're preparing for the move of God. We're preparing this mission base for what God is doing, what He's stirring up, what's already beginning to happen, but we know is going to be much bigger and bigger and bigger. We're preparing for that. We're not just putting paint on the wall because it makes us feel better. We're not just going to be putting together our new prayer room over here just because, oh, we just want a place to go hide and to spend time with God. No, we're getting things ready for advancing His plans and purposes in our community. Another thing that we're doing is we've been calling the whole church to Christian hospitality. What does that mean? That means being part of serving those who are coming, especially in our gatherings on Sunday morning, also your life group gatherings and prayer gatherings. Being hospitable to others, serving them, caring for them, greeting them, helping them find a seat, getting the place ready, cleaning it beforehand, afterwards, all of that kind of stuff. So that's all part of this preparing and getting ready so that the advancement will happen and it won't be abruptly halted. We have a new church database that we're launching. Why? Just because we want to be slick in all of this and we need a better way to print out, you know, people's names and send emails? No, that's not it at all. It's so that we properly steward, we're preparing ourselves so we properly steward all of those people that God is bringing to us to show love to. We're launching a children's ministry. Why? Just because we really want to? Well, yeah, we really do want to. But the whole driver is so that we're prepared for whoever God brings to us, so that we can minister to everyone that God brings to us. And so we're preparing and we're putting in time and we have people that are stepping up to volunteer and to get things ready for that. Planning to launch more life groups to accommodate more people so that they can experience the rich life of Christian family. We're preparing a fresh start group for new believers and those coming back to Jesus. A fresh start group that will help them get that solid foundation of who they are now in Christ and launch them into their journey and their eternity, glorifying God and enjoying Him. And there's so many other things. Why are we doing that? Just to go through motions and to get busy? Believe me, we don't have time for that. But we must spend the time properly preparing for advancement and stewarding all that God has given us so that we can see His kingdom come right now in our lives as it is in heaven. Let me ask you to stand up. Advancement requires proper preparation. It's true of our church. It's true of your life as well. I want you to be asking yourself this week, maybe even tonight when you lay your head down on the pillow, how are you positioning yourself for God's plans in your life? What kind of preparation are you doing right now? Is your house in order? Are you ready for your next assignment? And then look at your oikos, your relational network. How can you begin to advance God's kingdom and His love into each one of those precious people that the Lord has put in your life. All of this is for a purpose. It's not just to get busy as God's people. It's to see His kingdom come. It's to see Him glorified. And it's to see the lost and the lonely coming into the family of God in restored relationship with their loving Heavenly Father who created them. Let's be God's people who are properly prepared. Because I tell you what, advancing with God, there's nothing like it. It's exciting. It's fun. It's enjoyable. Again, it'll blow away any plan, anything that you have in your life. Now, please, don't hear what I'm not saying. Okay? I'm not saying that wealth is bad. I'm not saying that time with your children is somehow a bad thing. I'm not saying that hobbies are bad. I'm not saying, definitely not saying that work is bad. I'm not saying any of those things. I'm saying those things are all good things, but they've got to be in their proper place under the headship and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Everything is under Him and for Him. Amen? Amen.